ready to dive in? Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast. Every episode explores, expands, and evolves the truths we encounter and experience in our human quest for clarity, joy, and exponential growth. And now, here is your host, Jim Case. Welcome to Adventures in Truth Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Adventures in Truth Livecast. My name is Jim Case, and I am your host today. And I am so excited that you're here with us because this is going to be a really, really interesting and powerful conversation. Since the inception of the idea of the conversation, today we're having a conversation with Moshe. And this conversation is, we're going to talk about God. You know, it's coming up on 2021 here, and I think it's time. It's time to have a really good conversation about God because there's so much going on and so much polarity about so many things. And it seems appropriate that we would now really look at this idea of God and what is God and who is God and is God a thing and all that good stuff. So I'm really excited about this. I feel like it's going to be a really powerful conversation and a very kind of full circle conversation for me. And we'll get into that on the other side. But basically, I was sharing with Moshe that, you know, back when I was a young person, I always felt pulled. I always felt this calling, as it were. You know, and for those of you who may not know what that expression is, a calling is many times what priests who go into seminaries or, you know, people who go into particularly devout practices have this calling. They feel called by God to engage in some way. And I've always felt a calling. And when I was in, after I left home at 16 and had gone to college for a little while, I was living in a seminary and I was this close. And I realized that that expression for me wasn't how God lived in me. And that's really what this, I think, full circle moment is about, talking about the experience of God and understanding God in a way, at least in a way that maybe we never have before. Maybe putting a little crack in the door of understanding how we can relate differently or understand differently. So I'm kind of, as much as I'm having being able to talk, part of me is like, because I'm excited to get into this conversation and I'm excited. I don't know if you guys know this, but we don't script the show. The show is structured so that we can kind of stay within the rails, but there's so much opportunity for expression here when it's not scripted per se, because we can really go to places that we may not have gone had we limited our thought process in this. So work with us, walk with us. We're excited that you're here. You can watch us on Adventures in Truth Facebook page. You can interact with us on the Adventures in Truth Facebook page. If you have a question, you can type it into the comments of the live window, and we'll get that on air. We're happy to answer questions or talk about your comments. So as we get started, we're going to take a minute, talk about my book, and then I'm going to bring Moshe in for our conversation, and I'm looking forward to this. So thanks, everybody, for being here, and we'll see you on the other side. Wow, I am having an interesting time here. I've started using my earbuds and they're really loud and none of the volume controls control what's going on here. And it's like, why is this so loud? Anyway, hi, welcome back. I want to talk to you about my book. Let's do it on this side. Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. Such a key foundational piece to really getting in touch with you. When you change your relationship with fear, it changes everything, guys. And what I know about this book is, when you dive into this book, as you go into this book, it's written in such a way that it evokes in you the things to look at, the things to understand about your own inner workings. Because what we do is we look at fear as the evolution of the human experience, realizing that fear didn't happen, isn't in you when you're born, in the sense that you don't come in afraid. You learn fear. You're entrained into the experience of fear. So once you grasp that core concept, then from there it begins to unravel all of the beliefs and ideas that you may have constructed around this idea that you're a fear-based human being. And as those things come to the surface and you're able to see them for the first time, maybe in a way that you can interact with those beliefs and ideas, you get to choose. You get to decide how you're going to do that. So that's part one of the book. Part two of the book is, how do I take this and understand it in my own evolution? How has it evolved in me? And being able to go deeply into yourself to understand that. And then the third part of the book talks about how are you going to change that? Now that you understand your relationship with fear, how do you actually change the relationship? And I think you'll find it's very powerful, very effective, and it's well written. What can I say? I don't mean that in an egotistical way. Seriously, I'm joking, but it is well written, and it's designed to really take you to the next level. So www.adventuresintruth.com is where you can pick up a copy of the book. There are links there. There's all kinds of good stuff, and I'm not finding my buttons, but there's links there for all the places you can order, and enjoy. I'm just such a spaz today. Anyhow, we'll be right back right after this break, and we're going to bring Moshe on for a great conversation. We'll be right back. All right. Oh, picking up all kinds of background noise, Moshe. Are you using a computer speaker? I'm hearing every single thing in your background.
Oh, I'll switch mics. I don't know why that is.
All right, guys, that's Moshe. Say hi to Moshe.
Hello. Welcome,
Moshe. Conversation with Moshe today. For those of you who have not met, met Moshe as a good friend. Moshe and I met many, many years ago. Moshe is the author. Yes, Moshe is the author of this amazing book, The Amari Wave, Uplifting Business by Putting Love Back to Work. And he has an amazing company that helps companies to migrate to this Amari Wave to understand how they can introduce this back into their business. So extraordinary human being and amazing transformer out there in the world. So I'm excited to have this conversation with you. And as I always am, because they always end up being pretty exciting.
Yes.
So anyway, so that as I babbled through the first part of this process here, I'm like, so where to begin? I really, like I said to you just before we got on, I really am struck by how uplifted, literally, I have been since we decided to have this conversation. The excitement in me has literally grown nonstop since that conversation. Mm-hmm. I mean, going to sleep, getting up this morning, in meditation this morning, it's like, I get to do the thing that I feel like I've always wanted to do, which is just have a conversation about God that has no limitation to it, that has no, in a way, it's, how do I say this? I care about what you think, but I don't care about what you think.
Yeah.
I care about how you feel. I care about you, anyone listening or watching, being able to have any portion of what we're about to talk about unfolding in their own lives. So without going into specifics, because we're going to get there and we're going to dive and go all over the place. So what do you think, Moshe? Where do you want to start? What are your thoughts about this topic? Talking about God.
I love the topic, and I think it is very timely, and I'm glad you said yes, let's put this on the table. Yeah. And deal with it. For me, how it came up was the other day I was walking on the beach, where I often feel this strong connection with God. And I realize that I'm limiting my conception of God inadvertently, I wasn't aware of it, by thinking of God as an entity, by putting God in a container.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me, you might remember this, Jim, after my mom passed a couple years ago, and I was on the same beach where I go every day, and trying to, what word, find my mom, connect with her. It was several weeks after she had passed. And I still felt her presence somewhere. Mm-hmm. It was shifting, was harder to find.
Yeah.
Your advice was don't seek her out in a physical form.
Yeah.
She's way bigger than this, way bigger, way bigger. And that freed me up to shift from this construct I had of seeing her in the same body she had lived in, but somewhere else, to being more, being not an entity, but being something much bigger and more diffuse and all over. And I realized with God, I was doing the same thing of, like, if I want to have a conversation with God, it would take the form of me as a physical entity talking to another physical entity. I thought, why am I doing that? And that, so that's where I started. And thought, well, if God's not an entity, what is God?
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, and then a conversation I remember very clearly, because it was a lot about don't look for her where you remember her, look for her where she is now.
Yes.
And it's really truly a parallel for your relationship with God, for that connection to God, is look for God where God is, not where you think he is, or where you think she is, or where you think it is, or where you think or in the personalization process. But it's so interesting, because as all of these thoughts are flowing and I'm thinking about what is and what isn't, and then realizing that the extraordinary part of this conversation is that it's God is all of it. God is the conversation. God is the thought of the conversation. God is the idea of the conversation. God is the origin of the conversation. It just continues to extrapolate. And I know for many people out there going, yeah, but that's a lot. And yeah, it is a lot, but it's a lot because, you know, we talk a lot about threshold. You know, when you, in consciousness, when you step across the threshold, when you are looking at God across the threshold, it feels like, what? What do you mean he's there and he's that and he's this and he's thus? Those are words about stepping across the threshold to the experience of is a whole different world, because then you experience it in a way that is completely different from any concepts you have about what that experience is, because most of us have spent our lives learning about the words about, the construct of, the religious model of, and I think that has limited our ability to perceive in that way. So that's why I'm excited about this, because I think initially we were kind of looking at, and I think this is still true, you can see in the title, you know, is this an entity? Is this an experience? Is this an energy? That's really what we want to evolve this conversation into today. So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a moment to focus, because especially in a topic like this, I want us to all come together, at least in the same energetic bubble, to have this conversation so that all of our energy is contributing to the forward motion of this conversation. So Moshe, we'll be right back.
All right.
See you on the other side. Could you check for me, Moshe, if you have controls on your mic to manage your mic a little, because it's really, really bright. But we'll be back on the other side. All right, guys, let's take that moment to focus. So I do this part of the show because, number one, I am a huge proponent of a daily practice, and I talk about it every show, every time. And so this is me putting my money where my mouth is. This is taking a moment of the show to create a moment of practice, a moment of conscious attention and the use of breath. So the first thing we want to do is we want to get comfortable. What I know is that when we focus together, it brings a focus to the energy and the topic that is far greater than what either Moshe or I could do just by ourselves. Because these questions, I think, are universal in some way. I think everyone has a desire to understand more deeply. So the daily practice puts us in a place, a contemplative place, a quiet place, a centered place, an aligned place that allows us to connect more deeply to that largest experience of ourselves, to that part of us that is God. So just take a moment with me here and just be in this moment. Feel yourself where you are. Get comfortable where you are. Prefer that you let your eyes close so that you can be internal. Of course, if you're driving, don't do that. And just begin to become aware of your energy, just where you are. If you're sitting, if you're laying, whatever you're doing, just become aware of your field, of your energy. And become aware and allow your awareness to become focused in those things that consume your energy. What has parts of your energy consumed? And you'll notice that as you look in your field, that there are a lot of things that you attend to all the time outside of yourself. Lots of stuff that's occupying your energetic space and focus. Just take a moment to be aware of those. Don't judge them. Don't assess them. Don't really spend a lot of time with them. Just be aware. And now, as your awareness, you see, as you kind of look around in your field, all of these areas where energy is siphoning into these things that you're focusing in. I want you to now consciously command your field to withdraw from the external focus. I want you to bring your energy into the center of your heart space right in here. Just bring all of your focus inside of your body. I want you to experience the inside of you. And just feel the energy as it builds in your body. There's a sensation associated with it. Just feel that fullness and that richness. And allow yourself to feel your way around your body. Just let your consciousness roam around the inside of your head and around in your brain and in your neck and behind your eyes and in your sinuses and in your mouth, and feel where your teeth are attached in your gums and the nerves down the neck and the blood vessels and the muscles. And just be aware of all of this incredibleness all the way down to the cellular level that you are. Let your awareness just move through you. Feel the inside of your body, down to your hands and your fingertips from the inside. We're so used to touching and feeling things from the outside. What does it feel like on the inside? Let that awareness travel through all of the amazing organs and tissue and bone and muscles and everything within you and the spirit that lives within you. Feel all of that as it moves down through your hips and your legs, and just experience you. Just for this moment, unattached to outside experience. Anything you need to attend to will be there. When you bring your awareness back into the world, you'll find it if you need to. And now we're going to take a moment and we're going to focus this in the breath. The breath is the foundation of who we are. It is life force. It is prana. It is chi. It is everything that animates this being. When we learn to use our breath, we become more conscious, we become more aware, we become more present, because in that working of the breath, in the consciousness of the breath, we're more focused into now. So we're going to inhale to a count of four. We're going to fill completely, and then we're going to rest at the top. I want you to feel in the fullness. And then purging, you're going to release from the mouth. You're going to breathe out to a count of six. And we do that so that you can get all that old energy and air out of the bottom and the lowest part of the lungs and purge all that out so you can make room for new vital energy as you inhale again. When you get to the bottom, you're going to rest for a moment in the void. You're going to rest in emptiness so that you can experience the power of emptiness as strongly as you experience the power of fullness. And so we'll begin as you focus, keeping the focus in the heart space, in the breath. Begin with an inhale, inhaling 2, 3, 4, and we're resting at the top. And then purging and releasing out of the mouth, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, feeling completely empty and resting in that emptiness for just a moment. And now engage the lungs, inhaling 2, 3, 4, feeling full, feeling vital as you surrender and release. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 as we rest at the bottom, feeling that emptiness and the void, engaging the lungs, re-inhaling, 2, 3, 4, feeling full, feeling rich, and then releasing from the mouth, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, as you rest into the void, into the emptiness, and continue this rhythm on your own. Continue with an inhale, inhaling, feeling that fullness, feeling that powerful surge of energy as you reach the top. Letting it go. Feeling yourself as it purges, feeling the cleansing as you reach the bottom. And continue that rhythm as you take in these words that are so apropos to the conversation we're about to have. I am the evolution of God, realized as matter. I inform and guide that expression as the pure expression of God. I show up as God. I connect as God. I align as God. I am creation realized, and from that I create, expand, and engage. I am. Just let those words wash over you as you continue the breath, feeling the power of that cycle of breathing, feeling the power of now in this present moment, the experience of you as God. And let that love flow through you. And now gently just release your energy and consciousness. Let it flow naturally back out into the world again. Let yourself feel a reconnection. Don't try to make it be anything. Just let it unfold for you as we bring Moshe back in. Just feeling the power. Your background is loud again.
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either. Something of the mic is picking up a lot, but that's okay. So welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. So here we go. So that part of the meditation, I like that focus. That's a good focus in your window. So Moshe. Part of the meditation there, I speak of God. I think I use God about 7 times or 8 times in that meditation. And for a long time, I found myself feeling uncomfortable about it because I didn't know how people would react to God being so, bam, God, yum, God, you're God, be God, you know, feel God. And that changed a while back because it changed because I stopped worrying about that. Because what I started to realize is that it really, you know, this is my experience, and I'm sharing my experience in hopes that that sharing might make you feel something, might make you think about something, might make you want to say, let me think about that. Let me take that into my experience and see what happens for me if I go there. Mm-hmm. And so this meditative process, that meditation actually came, it's a part of the process, the program that I have called the Science of Transformation. There is a creation of a statement that is a soul-driven the way I see it. It's a soul-driven statement that has evolved through the process of going through the Science of Transformation. And what has consistently shown up for me is this clarity in the understanding of the experience of God for me. And I want to see that experience evolving. And I do see it evolving because it continues to be expanded upon and picked up, and people are thinking about it differently. So I'm not sure where I'm going with that, but I like I said, there's so many ideas here. So I'm going to be quiet and let you talk a bit about God from your perspective, and sharing how do you perceive God at this time in your world, in your life?
Well, it's changed quite a bit over the years.
And now, especially since I've been having a lot of conversations with God, it's changed into a relationship, a two-way relationship. You know, it used to be that it was normal, you call what's still called prayers, but people thought you were crazy if you hear God. That person is psychotic. How could they? Which is such a bizarre idea that it's a one-way street.
Like, well, yeah.
And
unless you're special.
Right. Unless you're one of the very, very few special people, the prophets, the whatever. So it's lightened up into more of a relationship instead of God as kind of this kind of the an extension of a holy person. Mm-hmm. So I was limited by my ability to go beyond what it is to be human. And now somehow I can step over that threshold a little bit or peek over it. And it happens when I see the sunset over the ocean and I look around and see all the people and the buildings and the moon rising on the other side and the vastness of the ocean. And I think, how can this all be orchestrated this way? It's phenomenal. So that helps me be more expansive in my concept of God. And so it's a relationship. And I mentioned on the show a few weeks ago, maybe a couple months ago, this book I've been reading again and again called Conversation with God, mm-hmm. Conversations with God. And it's phenomenal book or series of books. There's three of them actually. And in the conversation between the author and God, who he's channeling, the author's confused when God gets sarcastic or makes a joke, said, yeah. As though that aspect of being is beyond God.
Yes.
I thought you were holy and divine. He said, who do you think invented sense of humor? Think there's words you say that I haven't heard before? Where'd all this come from? What do you think? So my current idea of God is I often use the word in my head as source.
Hmm.
And one reason is it reminds me that it's the energy from which everything arises. The other is, to me, the word God, which I still use, sort of conveys an entity. It's like, your name's Jim, my name's Moshe. That the entity I'm looking at is called Jim Case. The entity I am is called Moshe Engelberg. The entity over there is called God. So giving that a label, it's kind of like a name, mm-hmm. and to me is limiting, because there's this thing that we'll call God. In a nutshell, that's where I'm at right now. And the words experience and energy came in. I was asking my wife, Dana, the other day, would you consider God an entity? She said, no. What do you consider God? I said, energy. And that's how I feel it too. It's an energy which I experience. So it's the interplay of energy and experience.
Love that. I love that. And as you're talking, I'm reminded of a couple things. There's a friend of mine who lives downstairs from me. I'll say his name because it'll drive him crazy. But his name's Billy. And he's an awesome, awesome human being. He may be listening today, but one of the things that I struck me about this conversation is that this person reminds me of what God is on a daily basis. And the reason I say that is because he experiences the world the way I experience the world, but he comes from a completely different background. And when I say experiences it the way that I do, that when we go out together, when we go into the mountains, we spend most of our time just bouncing back and forth at each other about, oh my God, did you see that? Did you see the way the light hit those rocks and the color that it created? And oh my God, did you see how those stars over there? And everything has this joyous communion kind of feeling with it. Like, wow, you know, look at all this cool shit we get to experience. And that to me, based, you know, coming from what you were talking about, I kind of see this as an evolution. That we go through a period of creating God in our image. We go through a period of God is a God, you know, that's me versus that. And then we begin to enter into relationship. And I think that's what happens in religion to a degree. We begin to learn how to have a relationship. Now, the construct of that, as I said in the intro of my show, I was standing at that threshold of becoming a priest. I was in the seminary. I'd lived there for 6 months. And what I recognized was that that framework of God and my framework of God were not in alignment. There was something in that framework that was not about me, because at that point, and not at that point, I was a young gay man standing in a seminary going, okay, is this it? You know, and realizing that that was a beginning, that was another form and another evolution of the relationship, because I had to sift through, what do I do about this connection that I've always felt like I had, when the outside world is saying, but you're gay, but you ran away from home, but you've had sex already. All of these things that coming from the outside that say I shouldn't have a relationship with God because I'm not worthy of that relationship with God, to evolving it to realizing that, wow, I've always had a relationship with God. I've always had this innate ability to communicate, a conversation that has always taken place with me, which is why I ended up at the threshold of the seminary, because I thought that was what you're supposed to do. And I got to tell you, I thank God every day that I didn't do that. I couldn't resist that. But so you bring it forward to now, and now it is an experience. It is a relationship that is an experience. It is like, we talk about, there's the idea of duality, and I really see the duality is the duality of human to creation or human to God, meaning we live duality because we are in a physical body in the physical world, living in time and space, having a relationship with all that is, or having a relationship with creation. Because that's how it feels to me. I am in, when I'm too in my humanness, when I'm too in my ego, it's harder to listen and hear in that relationship, because the mind wants to limit me to what I can taste, touch, feel. You know what I mean? So, and then conversely, those same experiences become the joy of the relationship, because I can see and taste and touch nature and air, and I can breathe in this beautiful air, and I can be at the ocean and experience those ions all over my body. And do you know what I mean? It becomes the thing that on the on one side of the paradigm that seems like a restriction becomes the total expression and freedom on the other side of the paradigm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, total.
So that's where this is why this conversation is exciting to me, because I said, God damn it, it's 2021. And notice I did it again. It's 2021, people. Let's talk about God. Not from a perspective of you're being punished, but from the perspective of where is your power? We are 7.5 billion unique sparks of creation on this planet in this moment. I don't think that's a mistake. I don't. I think that in a weird way, we are evolution witnessing itself. We are God looking back at it, that creation. Never before in the history of the human experience have we been able to actually see all the way back, as far at least as we understand it, right? Science has enabled us to see the trajectory of the human experience, and we get to look at it and evaluate it and go, holy crap. But that to me is God looking back at itself through us, saying, this is what this experience is through this piece. And now we're doing it 7.5 billion times. 7.5 billion perspectives, all of them God. All of them.
Wow.
I got to say it. Okay.
That was awesome.
So that's where I'm about. So I come back to the start of this was to talk about my friend Billy, was because I don't know, you know, it isn't about what you notice or don't notice or know or don't know. It's how you choose to express your love, how you choose to express your connection, how you choose to express your divinity. And when you choose it, when you feel it, when you feel that connection, when you know that is there, then everything you experience becomes profound. And it doesn't mean, though, conversely, that I don't have purely human moments, purely disconnected human moments, but they're less and less. I still have them, but I don't completely sever that connection. I go into a moment of cloud, and then I reconnect because I realize in the cloud that I'm not being clear, I'm not seeing clearly, I'm not engaging clearly. So then I look for a way to pierce that cloud to reconnect myself. That's the power of God, in my opinion.
Well, and that means you can choose to never be alone.
Always. Yes. I firmly, yes, always. It's an extraordinary thing that I can feel lost. I can feel confused. I can feel alone, but I don't feel ever lonely. I don't ever feel lonely. I don't ever feel absent of support or absent of love. I may feel diminished in it, but that diminishment is a decision in my perception, not because the energy has changed of what is being around me all the time. It is what I'm allowing in that changes that perception. Because somehow in my egoic structure, I decided that I wasn't worthy of that fullness right now. Something I'm thinking, feeling, believing, or doing says I'm not worthy of that right this moment. So we put up a protection to not experience it, and then we wonder where God went. God didn't go anywhere. God's still standing right in the middle of this with you, observing it from your perspective and being on the outside of the perspective, showering you with this unbelievable amount of love and support and wisdom that simply requires you to surrender and allow it. That's all. Being willing to release a perspective or a viewpoint for only a moment, because in that moment, the floodgates open. And it doesn't matter if it's a pinprick. You know, it's funny. I hear myself talking and I feel like I'm talking the Bible. And honest to God, guys, I've never read the Bible from cover to cover. I can quote two passages of the Bible. So understand that this is coming from the relationship I have built because I know what that relationship is. And those beliefs, those truths that exist in the world still exist inside or outside of a religious construct. But the cool thing is we all get to choose how we want to express it. We all get to choose that. And that's true positively or negatively. We all get to choose that expression. So what do you think of that?
That's consistent with the title of your book, Fear is a Choice. Mm-hmm. So is love. So is a relationship with God.
Yes.
Holy and the absence of fear is make space for those other choices to happen.
Absolutely. And that's the critical, really critical point there, Moshe, is that it is the fear, largely the fear-based consciousness, that creates this boulder in the middle of our road. And the cool thing about it is that you don't have to blow the boulder up. You don't have to destroy the boulder. You can simply get quiet in front of the boulder and allow the love and the, because God is the boulder, as much as God is everything else. So if it is a part of all of it, then when you cross the threshold and understand and have that realization, then you see the boulder, you sit in front of the boulder, and you allow the boulder to be, and you allow yourself to be guided around the boulder, the path of least resistance, because you are reaching always to that higher place. And I say higher relative, I don't mean that as in better or worse. It creates the ability for you to not have to attend to the boulder, because the boulder is not the point. And if you get to that point of quietness. You reconnect with all that you are, and you follow that path around the boulder. The boulder is then behind you. You don't have to do anything with the boulder anymore unless you choose to turn around and pick it back up again.
Yep. Well, and that leads me to think about the energy of God as being active or passive. So when you were saying sometimes you go in a cloud, but then you come out of it, and that when you are, if you would move toward loneliness, you can feel then God showering you with love, with whatever it is that invites you out. So God's around and waiting for, sees our need, and then actively sends us what we need. So God is answering our prayers, meeting our needs. I don't see it quite that way. And I'm not sure that's what you were conveying. That was my elaboration.
Yeah, no, it's funny because as you were talking, I'm like, yeah, no, that's not what I'm saying, but go ahead.
So the way I see it is, or the way I experience it is that if God is energy, it's not just this, it's energy. It's an incredibly intelligent energy. I don't know what other word to use besides intelligent. So the capacity for whatever the answer to our prayers are, whatever our needs are, is always there. Mm-hmm. It's just our ability to tap into it. It's not, it shows up suddenly.
It's always there.
It's always there. And the magic is when our ability to tap into the aspect of God energy that meets our need in the moment, when that happens, that's the magic. And I think you have a particular skill in eliciting that magic.
I think that, thank you. And I think that that's in large part because of what I want to talk about as a result of what you just said, which is, I was also thinking about someone else who's on this network on E360 TV, Joshua, who has been through an extraordinary amount as a human being who talks about God in a very powerful way and embodies this experience of God for himself in a way that's very different than mine. And the interesting thing about that is that we all get to evolve it however we want to, because it's all God, right? So as you were talking before about it was sort of making this personalization. It was this God as a being sort of idea, this being that is benevolent, this being that showers us with whatever. And those are all evolutions of the experience in some form or another. But the embodiment of that experience is very different. So for me, this sort of, I think, and I've talked about this before, there is the voice of the ego, the mind chatter, which just goes on all the time, blah, 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 blah. Then there's the still small voice. There is the voice that has been the same voice that I've heard in my life since as far back as I can remember. I sort of call it, it's sort of like the narrator of my life. It's had a lot of different names, but it is a voice that is unlike any other voice that comes through this apparatus. And it's not a special voice, meaning I don't think I'm special because I experience it. And when I say I experience it, it's because it's not necessarily sentences. It's communication in thought. It's communication in construct or in concept. So when I'm looking for answers or when I'm looking for direction, I don't necessarily get go over here. And sometimes I do. Sometimes the prompt is call so-and-so, you know, but many times it's an experience. It is a conceptual. It's not just a linear thing. It's a whole construct. The answer is actually in 360 degrees because we live in that construct. We live in that reality. But if you're trying to understand the evolution of your own experience, if you're trying to unravel a problem, the problem is not linear. The problem is a construct that's built around an idea, a belief, a thought, whatever it is. And so that communication process, as it were, sort of drops these concepts that I get to unfold because that's the way I enjoy it. That's the way it stimulates and satisfies me. It may not be the same way for my friend Billy or for you or for Joshua. Their communication process may be vastly different. And that's okay. That's the brilliance of it all being God, because we all get to experience it in a very deeply personal way that motivates us to connect more deeply. Because if I tried to connect the way you connect, I probably wouldn't have the same experiences because I don't have your experiences. Does that make sense in that whole context?
Yeah, it does make sense. And it speaks to how the people's ongoing experience continually shapes their relationship with God.
For sure. You know, prayer is an interesting thing to me. Prayer is a powerful thing in that you're invoking an energy in prayer. You're wanting to bring in, you're wanting to receive. And what prayer does is another sort of form of appreciation, but it's also a form of opening. It's a reform. You know, one of the words that I use a lot when we talk is being receptive, being in a receiving place, being willing to allow something to happen in your experience. And what prayer does is it opens that panorama of possibility, and it opens you to different possibility. You know, if you truly go into a prayer space, it's no different than a meditative space. If you're going into a prayer space loaded with, I need, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want, you're in an ego place. You're not in a connected place. But even in the context of the prayer, you can go there in that unconnected space and end up in the connected space simply by being willing to go there. That's all it requires. You can go in where you are, and you can go in praying and saying, I want a new car, and I want a new relationship, and I want to do this and that. And as you're in prayer, something will change in you. Your energy will change because you are seeking an opening. That's why you're there. You're seeking an opening into something different. And as soon as you find a place for that to happen, like we talked about earlier, the energy floods in. And suddenly you're in that connected place, and all of those things of the car and the relationship become inconsequential to this relationship. Because again, what happens next is the construct of understanding what those needs are about, what those desires are about, and how you can more easily satisfy yourself or more deeply satisfy yourself through that process.
Beautiful. That's a really powerful. Look at your reaction to yourself. That's a very, I think, empowering view of prayer. It's not the thing I'm asking for. It's the process leads to an openness, and then
yes,
it all floods in.
All floods in. And that, again, so I can't enough emphasize 7.5 billion unique sparks of the divine, 7.5 billion opportunities and perspectives to explore that very thing. So we see across the entire scope of the world, we see every extreme of that being actuated, being happening. The challenge is then not judging what we perceive to be negative outcomes versus positive outcomes, because everyone has choice. And, you know, in the law of attraction, one of the things I love to talk about is we have so much freedom. We have the freedom to choose bondage. And I know people get crazy about, you know, oh, so this people dying and these people suffering and these people this and these people that. All of that is legitimate in that, yes, they are experiencing what they are perceiving. They are experiencing what they are experiencing, just like you are experiencing what you are experiencing. The question is, how do we individually and then collectively, but individually first, how do we take this perspective and transform it? Because if you learn the power of your ability to transform your perspective, that is easily transmitted to another human being because you live it in energy. And they are energy. So when you live it, your energy goes from this constricted place to this. Imagine what that would feel like to someone you've been around, or you've maybe not been around, to go from bumping into energies like this to having this expanded experience of all of it and not judging any of it, but directing love, directing God to those things, because we are that, directing that energy to those areas that could use the support and allowing those people to embrace that energy when they're ready. You can't force it any more than I could force my own personal process. You just can't force it. You got to walk it and you got to choose it every step of the way. Oh, I'm going to choose a little more. I'm going to choose a little more.
It's a lot to take in.
It is, but I'm so grateful to you to be here to help stimulate and stir up this conversation. And I'm curious, I'd love your feedback about what you've heard and what your thoughts are about what you've heard. Because I think that it's important to, you know, whoever's listening, that that's part of the reason for the conversation.
Well, what's striking to me at the moment, so I'll speak to my experience right now, is I'm reflecting on how I choose to surround myself with books and music and people who are aligned with this kind of bigger perspective on God. God is energy we experience that we can make space for whenever we choose. That energy is always there. And yes, we have our 7.5 billion of us, and we're reflecting back in different aspects of God. So you might be aspect 7 and 12 and 300. I might be aspect 7 and 15 and 192 or whatever. So we have some commonality and some differences.
Yes.
And so the books on my bedside are The Impersonal Life, which we might talk about, which is very much in line with this, a book called The Experience of God, a book called Conversations with God, and maybe one other. And the music I listen to, the kirtan music that has this higher vibration, and it's all about relationship with God in some way, even though that word may or may not be used. And the people like you, like our relationship. So it creates a consistency and an ability to grow that awareness mm-hmm. and that experience. It also might be a biased sample because that's what I choose to surround myself with, but sure feels good. Mm-hmm. And the way you're expressing it kind of brings together these complementary perspectives and makes it really clear. So I hope for listeners and viewers, it's something that you are really letting in. Mm-hmm. So as you're hearing these words, you might be experiencing God, source, nature, whatever you call it, in this moment.
Yep.
So that's what I got.
That's fantastic. And I loved all the pieces that you added to it, because it is really significant that we get to explore this uniquely individually. And while there are people who can experience similar things, and we do experience similar things, I think those relationships are important because they help us to realize that we are not limited in our experience, meaning, wow, I just talked to somebody in South America who I had an amazing conversation. I had alignment with, because so many pieces of their experience aligned with so many pieces of my experience. And then they shared their unique experience. And I got to take that in and decide if it served my experience, decide if it was something that could enhance my experience, and could mine enhance theirs. And so we get to have those conversations, but it speaks to that kind of co-creative environment, that while there are 7.5 billion unique sparks of the divine here, there are many alignments within that in those perspectives that create a support system that we can then align ourselves to the things that help uplift us again and uplift us again and uplift us again. It's a difference in perspective, again, crossing the threshold of, rather than discarding things and people and situations. You know, that's a very popular thing in the spiritual community is, you know, you're going to evolve past those people. So just let them be, let those people be. as opposed to that perspective, just recognize that you are changing and growing, and that your love for all of it expands. And while you may never align with their perspective is not incorrect. Their perspective is theirs. And it's okay, and it's good, and it's where any individual is in their own process of experience. And some have chosen to cross the threshold in a way that there is no going back. So, but it isn't leaving anything. It isn't discarding things, because transformation is transmuting. It's transmuting and including. So everything I am in this moment transforms. It transcends this moment into the next moment, and it all goes with me. The things vibrationally that don't serve just don't become attention. They're not active. It's still all a part of this amazing field of energy that I am, that you are, that we are, that's just constantly flowing and evolving. And it's the things we put our attention to that come to life. So if I put my attention into this relationship with God, into this experience of me being that and that being me, that evolves itself in a way that is so powerfully satisfying. But it's also satisfying at any juncture along the journey, meaning you don't have to be in the space that I'm in. You're going to be in the space that you are, evolving that space and growing that space and expanding that space, because that's what you have the ability to manage, control, work with, your field, your connection, your alignment. It's all this. I don't know if I'm conveying this properly, but is it coming across?
Yeah, I think so. But it raises a tough question in my mind, and relevant to this section of let's let God off the hook. And that's, so you're saying, so if it's not that we outgrow other people, it's we have different experiences and they're all valid. What happens when those experiences or perspectives that come from those experiences crash? And for example, talking about letting God off the hook, we have the Holocaust. Mm-hmm. So Hitler says these people are less than Jews and gypsies and any non-Aryan, so let's exterminate them. We have quote unquote terrorists who bomb the World Trade Center or crash, mm-hmm. take down the World Trade Center. We have early in US history, our government saying, these Indians are on our land. It's divine providence that we take over this land. Mm-hmm. So those kind of conflicts, it might be all of which are rooted. The Hitler example, certainly the terrorist example and the Indian example, they're typically it's calling on or justifying things with this is what God wants. So how do you deal with those situations where it causes a lot of hardship, to say the least?
We are 7.5 billion unique sparks of the divine, expressing ourselves how we think we should be expressing ourselves. And everyone in that 7.5 billion people have the same freedom. They may not experience the same freedom on the outside as they do on the inside, meaning we can think and feel and believe whatever we choose to. Events that are created by men, for men, even in the name of God, do not make them of God in the sense that they are not creations of God. No, I'm not saying that correctly. It's all God ultimately. That's all of this is, all of expression. But the duality that I talked about earlier is that because we have this consciousness, this ego thing, this human experience, we can choose to ignore or only take parts of thought processes that we think serve that egoic need. We are 7.5 billion sparks of the divine that are operating individually. So if an individual can use their uniqueness, their charisma, their energy, very much like Trump has done, use their energy in a way that creates negative outcomes, that's about human experience and interaction, and we are all learning individually in that context. If we surrender ourselves to the collective of that consciousness, then we are subject to that consciousness. But that is not the ultimate consciousness of God. That is a human built construct that is void of love. If it is void of love, to me, it is not sourcing from that God place. It is sourcing from an ego place. It is sourcing from the human experience down here, from the construct in the mind that we have that can do all these things. They may use the words and say this is divinely or because man interpreted the Bible to say that things look this direction. Therefore, that's what God said. No, God didn't say that. Man said that and decided to interpret it as God. I'm not saying that there aren't truths built into that process. There absolutely are, and I was sharing that earlier. But when you take truth and bastardize it, or you take truth and twist it, it doesn't make it about God. It simply makes it your ability to manipulate the energy of your environment. And when there are enough people who are willing to surrender their power in that circumstance to that power, then that becomes a stronger energy. It becomes a stronger force, but it has no connection to love, so it is not sustainable. It may last for a period of time, which to us seems like way longer than it should, but that's because each human that contributes to that consciousness adds to its momentum and longevity. But as soon as it is confronted with the light of truth or the light of creation, it cannot sustain. It cannot sustain. Because it is not sustained by anything. This experience is not sustainable. We know that. We're going to die, all of us. So the human experience is not a sustainable one. The experience of God is eminently sustainable because it is always. Now, who knows? That's my experience of this. And I may die and find out it's total horseshit. But the reality of it is, what it does in my life is it changes everything in my life. I can live in love and joy and peace and harmony and all of these amazing things, and I can observe what's going on, and I can influence it because I choose love. I choose my relationship with God in a way that says, I have this tremendous power that I can share with the world. I don't know how it's going to change the world. When I go into meditation and I share love with the entire planet, every sentient being gets a piece of the spark that lives within me. They have the choice to integrate that or not. I can't control that. But I certainly continue to emanate that love into the world because it matters. Because every time it happens, someone, anywhere, somewhere is waking to that potential. And when we all get to wake to that potential, it changes everything. But don't confuse the nonsense that men do to men with the clarity of who we truly are.
Amen, brother.
So well, once again, go ahead.
This is clear proof that you didn't have to complete seminary. You didn't have to become a priest to be a channel for people to experience God.
No. And thank you for that. That's this has been, Moshe, I'm just so grateful to you and to this process. And we've way over talked ourselves. www.adventuresintruth.com. You can find out more about the show and me and the book and all that good stuff, Science Transformation. www.theamariwave.com, where you can find all about Moshe and all of the incredible things that he is doing on the planet as well. So I've run over about 4 minutes. Sorry, Aaron. Guys, thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the show. Thank you for listening. And thank you for being willing to have me come into your space and to share this energy and these thoughts with you. Have an amazing day. And I'm looking forward to seeing you next time on Adventures in Truth. Thanks, guys.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Adventures in Truth podcast. Thank you for joining us. We'd love to connect with you. Please like us on Facebook and subscribe on YouTube. To learn more about Jim's book, Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love, or to book a session with Jim, you can email us at adventuresintruth@gmail.com, or you can join us on the web at www.adventuresintruth.com. Tune in next time for another great Adventures in Truth podcast.